Welcome back to Breast Cancer Update, and we continue with the interview with Dr. Eric Weiner. Let's talk a little bit about the other thing that happened on May 16th, which was the adjuvant trastuzumab data. Can you kind of provide an overview of what was presented?
Yeah, well, the adjuvant trastuzumab data were pretty impressive and I think were very, very striking for all of us who were sitting there listening to these data. I think what made them that much more striking is that the benefits were seen so early on, although if one thinks about it, given the fact that events in patients with HER2-positive breast cancer tend to be seen early on, maybe that's not so very surprising. Essentially, there were results from two large studies, or one large study and another analysis of two studies that were put together. The two U.S. studies which were analyzed together for the combined analysis were the NSABP trial and the NCCTG/intergroup trial. And they analyzed the patients on the NSABP trial who were randomized to AC followed by paclitaxel versus those patients who received AC followed by paclitaxel plus trastuzumab. The NCCTG trial was more complicated and had a third arm where there was also sequential trastuzumab. They were not included in this combined analysis. So essentially, the combined analysis compared AC followed by paclitaxel versus AC followed by paclitaxel given with trastuzumab followed by the completion of trastuzumab for a total of 1 year.
Before you go into the results, and oncologists have learned to be skeptical whenever possible, and I've had a bunch of people question whether or not that was sort of legitimate to combine data like that.
Well, the studies were initially done separately. The plan to combine the studies was put together about a year and a half or so ago, long before there was any look at the data. And so while this was not prospectively planned from the moment the studies started, it was planned long before there were any data available to analyze. And the reason for it was simply to try to get an answer as quickly as possible. The feeling was that the studies were far more similar than they were different, and that if there turned out to be a benefit or if there turned out not to be a benefit, that this is information that women with HER2-positive breast cancer should have to make decisions.
How much of this was some of the things that were starting to come out that were really getting people excited, such as Aman Bazdar's neoadjuvant study demonstrating such a high complete response rate?
You know, I think that many people had the hope that trastuzumab would be an active agent here and that by combining the studies, we would learn that a little bit sooner. But I don't think that it was any particular study that was reported along the way that led to this decision. We have a whole series of preoperative studies with trastuzumab that suggested it was active. We have the metastatic trials. And then beyond that, of course, you know, we've had the accumulating experience ever since trastuzumab first became available for the treatment of women with metastatic breast cancer. And, you know, as part of that accumulated experience with lots of doctors and lots of patients participating in it, I think there's been the sense that trastuzumab in women with HER2-positive metastatic breast cancer is a very active agent. Let me just quickly mention the other study, of course, was the HERA study, which was a more permissive study in that it allowed a range of different chemotherapy regimens, and then women were simply randomized to Herceptin or not at the completion of their other breast cancer treatment. So the combined analysis showed a very impressive, highly statistically significant improvement in disease-free survival for women who received AC paclitaxel plus Herceptin followed by Herceptin compared to those women who received no Herceptin whatsoever. And the reduction in the risk of recurrence was significant. And in terms of the hazard ratio, you know, this was in the range of a 40 to 50% reduction in the risk of disease recurrence. And I'm purposely being a little vague about the number because the actual number could change a little bit over time. And I don't think we should get hung up whether in a given study it's a 42% or a 46% or a 48% reduction, but the reduction was significant. Moreover, there was the early suggestion of a survival benefit. And I think what's particularly noteworthy about that is that this wasn't a trial of trastuzumab early versus trastuzumab never. It was a trial of trastuzumab early versus almost certainly trastuzumab at the time of recurrence. I think we have to presume that all, if not almost all, of these women who developed metastatic breast cancer went on to receive trastuzumab at that time. And there is the suggestion that perhaps there's a bit of a plateau in the curve in terms of women who were on the trastuzumab arm. Clearly, we need more follow-up. The follow-up is very, very short from these trials. You know, we're talking about a follow-up in the range of a couple of years or less. And whether or not this difference is maintained remains to be seen. I think many of us are hopeful that it will be maintained, and to what extent this will lead to a long-term survival benefit, we're just going to have to see, although I think that most people assume that there will be a significant survival benefit as we move forward.
It was amazing to see that there was a survival benefit at that short period, which implies the patient had no evident metastatic disease, got adjuvant therapy, recurred, and then died in a median of 2 years.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly true. Although, you know, there are patients who were enrolled in the study up to 4+ years ago. So, you know, for some number of patients, this is getting to be a moderate amount of time since diagnosis.